Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
All this has happened before.
Hey kids, Townsend Coleman here, the voice of Michelangelo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tom King, this is the voice of Yoda on Star Wars.
Hey yo, it's Wopat, and a big yee-haw to you all. I used to be Luke Duke.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Welcome to Neverland, to Disney and beyond.
And it will all happen again.
And now your head lost boy, the Spider Pan.
Walk on the eyes at each pan.
Jeremy!
Hooray for Captain Ed!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think that happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland with me. Hey, you know what? I've already been announced. You know who I am. This is your buddy Spider Pan. But I'm not flying alone this week. This time I brought a better mic when I come over here. We've recorded over here and sometimes a little mic and it doesn't always sound good. So hopefully this sounds much better for you. But Lost Boy Phil is here with me.
Hello, how are you?
We're going to go a little non-Disney, but it's almost Disney-ish. Golly, you know, I should have pulled up a list of, because I think even some of our animators here from Kansas City, some of them may have done some work with Hanna and Barbera, especially over at MGM. A lot of the and some of those animators did work for MGM that came from Laugh-O-Gram. I just thought of that. But we're going to talk a little bit of Hanna-Barbera today, because Scoob was going to have been a movie review for, it would have been out in theaters on May 15th. Now, didn't go out of the theater, so I didn't go see it, but Eric, Lost Boy Eric, did get out and buy a digital copy and watched it, and he's got a review of the film for you that I haven't listened to yet. So we'll see what he said about it. The long and short of it is he did like it. I don't know how much he liked it. I'm sure he'll get into details, but that's coming up. I have watched a review on YouTube, and it sounds like a lot of it, they aimed for that nostalgia and have a lot of Hanna-Barbera Easter eggs in the film, which it seems like they were trying to make you like the film because of the nostalgia, and maybe they don't have so much story. I'm worried about that, because personally, I've not really enjoyed what Warner Brothers has done with Hanna-Barbera, and most times I've not enjoyed what they've done with Scooby-Doo. It just hasn't felt right. So I was skeptical, although I was kind of wanting to see it, and I probably will, but I'm not gonna buy it without seeing it. But if Eric is just glowing about it when I listen to that review, then I'll probably pick it up and just go ahead and watch it. Well, you can rent it digitally too, so I might end up doing that. But his review is coming later. But because there's all kinds of Hanna-Barbera Easter eggs, I thought it'd be fun, because Philip and I are big Hanna-Barbera nuts.
Oh yeah.
And he's got books of stuff of Hanna-Barbera, and he's flipping through a whole history book of Hanna-Barbera, like 50 years, was it?
Yeah, the time, because this came out like in 1989.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk some Hanna-Barbera today.
Maybe it's 1990. I could be wrong.
But before we get into that...
it was 1990. I bought that.
There's a really awesome bit of news that I was seeing on the Hollywood Reporter, where I first saw it was Entertainment Tonight. Apparently they talked to Mark Hamill to get his reaction to the return of Mr. Boba Fett.
Awesome.
In season two, he's not going to have a big part. It's expected to play just a small role in season two of the series, after the character was teased in season one episode The Gunslinger, when a mysterious figure sporting the bounty hunter's trademark spurs approached the apparently lifeless body of Fennec Shand, played by Ming-Na Wen. Mm. Now, here's what's cool. Okay, and I have a hard time pronouncing his name. I'm going to try to read it. His name, all right, who's playing him, is Temuera Morrison. Now, you might not recognize the name, but this is the man who played Jango Fett, and in the films, of course, voiced all the clones. Uh-huh. He didn't do the Clone Wars series, but they found somebody who sounded almost just like him. But how perfect is Boba Fett?
He's done other things, too. He plays Aquaman's father in Aquaman.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And he also is the voice of, I can't think of her name right now from the movie. What's that movie? The Disney movie.
Was he Moana?
Moana.
Yeah. See? Disney connection. So see, it's still a Disney show. So don't you worry, just because we're going to talk Hanna-Barbera. But how exciting is this? I'm waiting to see what they do. And I want to see how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. I bet he killed that thing.
I have to wonder if they're building up season 3 to get it prepared for a season 3 of, because you have to wonder,
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to. And he was, whoever's got the money, he was fairly Empire loyal, to a degree, because government job, big paycheck.
That's one of the most beloved characters ever.
But, really, it's whoever's got the pocketbooks is where he's going to go, generally, I would say.
You got to love Boba Fett.
He was basically a villainous character, but he was only a villain because he was following the pocketbook. Kid,
I had an action figure. I say an action figure. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was a doll. It was a full-size doll from the... I don't know if any of y'all would know, and you probably do, but there was a big-size doll series of Star Wars. So, excuse me, I almost said Star Trek. Star Wars. And in this doll, Boba Fett, you can look through his eye. The back of his head.
Oh, yeah.
And we would do that. My father got it for us at a garage sale.
I remember hearing about this.
My dad was a garage sale hunter. And when he was, you talk about bounty hunter, he was. But I loved that about my dad.
Be more of a treasure hunter, too.
He was really good about it because, we didn't have a lot of money. But the great thing about garage sales was you didn't have to have a lot of money. And things just a couple years old, my dad would have it. And sometimes not even that old. But my dad knew how to find good garage sales, and he would bring us all sorts of Star Wars toys and Mickey Mouse toys.
Is he the one that found that good that Ghostbuster set, like every toy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got me a few years ago. It was more like 10, 15 years ago. He found me every Ghostbuster toy that they had at the time, and I got them, most of them. But yeah, because I had a couple that were taken from me, unfortunately. But either way, I got
a whole other story there.
Yeah, but I got a whole bunch of things from garage sales, including I had for a long time that Boba Fett. That was the coolest thing to have, man.
Yeah, I think I think that's where they got the idea, and it was a Toy Story 2. Emperor Zurg had a vision thing.
Oh,
you're supposed to be able to look through them. I think that's why they got the idea.
Probably
of course, there may have been other toys that had that feature.
They had back in the day. You didn't have a lot of technology, really, but I'll tell you who else had that kind of a thing. You had the $6 million man who could do something similar to that.
I'm trying to finish my lunch, y'all. So sitting here, and my stomach started chewing on my spine.
You had a lot of really cool toys back then where you had little tricks, little things you could do, and that was a lot of fun.
That was the action in the action figure.
That was it. And one of my favorite toys like that, now I know we're kind of getting off subject here, but I'm just going to tell you, one of my favorite toys like that, one of my all-time favorite toys, was the Inspector Gadget toy.
Mm.
That toy was the coolest toy. I wish I still had that. That was just because I love
it. You got a photo with that somewhere too, don't you?
Oh, I do. It had so many little parts where you could put like a little helicopter top on top of his hat. His hat had this little doohickey where you could attach things to it. It had a little hand and on the bottom of it, his legs could stretch out, and he had like these little springs on him. You could shoot one of his hands off. It was great. The other one would stretch out, and
shoot his mouth off.
His neck would go long, and it was great. Just one of the coolest toys they'd ever made, I think.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah, it was great. And I of course, every time I played, I couldn't help but hear.
I'm getting sour cream on my mouth.
It was great. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful, wonderful.
Well, and that's still got a Disney connection because when a film came out, Disney released, I believe, wasn't it? So, didn't Disney make that Inspector Gadget movie?
I
believe so, yeah. Andrew Robert.
Absolutely, sure did.
Which I will admit, I did watch more than once in the theater. It was after a few viewings that you're like, some of this is good and some of this is really bad.
Yeah, I didn't care for it as much, but when I was still at the time excited because I'd waited for so many years for there to be an Inspector Gadget movie. If they had, in my opinion, if they had made the villain more like the cartoon, it would have been a lot more fun.
And we didn't need a talking car. That was annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There's just a few things that were done there. But that being said, it was still fun for what it was supposed to be.
And Matthew Broderick made a pretty awesome... Oh, your phone vibrated.
Yeah, so it would have
been... I'm sure that got heard by everybody.
But it would have been fun if they'd done it just a little different.
And I don't remember if... Agent Smart. I don't remember if he was still alive at the time. It would have been nice to have if he had got a cameo.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
Because the voice of Inspector Gadget. No, I can't think of it. I want to call him Maxwell Smart every time I see him.
I can't think.
Don Adams. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good actor.
I don't remember if he was still alive when they made the movie.
Not sure. I don't think so.
But speaking of cartoons we used to watch in the 80s.
Yes.
Of course, some of these cartoons we watched in the 80s, I mean, we watched a lot of cartoons that were made in the 60s or earlier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not just Mickey Mouse.
No, not just Mickey Mouse.
We were even, before we started recording, what was it, 1939 then? And it wasn't originally called Tom and Jerry, but it had a different name, but it was the introduction of Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
For MGM, with William Hanna and Joseph Barbera, their very first cartoon that they came around together. And I forgot what, I bet that book says what the name of the cartoon was. It's
called Puss Gets the Boot.
Yeah, Puss Gets the Boot.
And that was 1940 when it first came out. So this was, this book came out in 1990, but I think it was May 1989. Came out in 1990.
Yeah, it takes a while to make it a little animated short. Sure does.
They had met in 1938, and we were working together in MGM for the illustration. And at first, they didn't work together. They worked across from each other. It said that they became good friends, and they had this idea for a cat that they named Tom. Because as some people don't get the I guess you want to call it a joke, but the whole... joke of that being a tomcat.
Yeah.
And so with that...
It's a male cat.
Yeah, a male cat. And then you get Jerry Mouse is what they end up calling him. And so you have Tomcat and Jerry Mouse, and they would have fights. And it seems like a very simple...
Yeah.
Simple thing. Now, you can see an evolution.
But that was one of the more violent cartoons.
It was. It had fun because no one got hurt, really.
Not really.
But...
I always rooted for Tom, though.
You know, I like both. I like cats. In the original...
Except for when Tom was being... Sometimes he was being awful.
Yeah, in the original ones, Tom was the villain.
Yeah.
He was...
But Jerry usually started it.
In the later, as it went on, Jerry started it, definitely. But yeah. In the original ones, it was Tom was kind of the ornery one. And because that's the job to get the mouse.
To get the mouse.
And you can see a real evolution when you go through the ages here of how Tom looked more like a cat. And after a while, he just became Tom.
Yeah, you know, he's more of a character. Yeah. More
cartoony, and you can see it. It goes through. But for about 20 years, it was nearly 20 years that they got to draw and illustrate and make this wonderful cartoon. MGM had so many wonderful cartoons of Tom and Jerry. But something did happen through time. First of all, I don't know if many of you know this about Tom and Jerry's creators, which is Bill Hanna and Joseph Barbera.
I always call him William Hanna, but yeah Bill, but, technically.
Yeah.
So yeah. I always call him William.
William Hanna, that's fine. And Joseph Barbera. First of all, both Christian
Bill men, and Joe, awesome.
Both good Christian men. And that.
And both very talented.
Very talented Mormon. But if you've ever gotten to the... I say joy and blessing to get to watch Tom and Jerry. If you've ever got to hear that funny, wonderful, it's no other sound in the world.
The Tom scream? Tom
scream. That's Bill.
Really?
Bill does all the voices of Tom.
Oh!
That's Bill.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Bill. That's all Bill.
See, I need to go. I will if I can find those sounds online, I will insert them here.
So I have every episode of the originals. Not a shock, I'm sure.
Yeah, not a shock.
But I collect things, you know.
Yeah.
The only ones that I don't have of Tom and Jerry, that I'll get to here in a second, that I do want to get. Well, I'll get to in a minute. But anyway, so they together made a lot of cartoons. In fact, I'm sure it says here how many they did. I don't have that right now. In fact, I wish I had it written down. But they made many, many, many wonderful, wonderful cartoons together for nearly 20 years. But what had happened was, once the 50s came around, all of a sudden, there was TV.
Yeah.
And they started to not only re-show them, but here's what happened. They started, the company, MGM, had got some new owners and all, and they started becoming cheap. Well, they got cheap and said, hey, we can just re-show what we already have. We just rehash it. We don't need to rehire you, because they made so many. They made so many cartoons. This has been before the whole TV situation. TV was around, of course. Mm. But they thought, we have so many, there's no need to have you. So they decided, we're going to let them go. And we're just going to start.
MGM would regret it for the rest of their lives.
Well, here's what happened. They got rid of them. And when they got rid of them, they decided, by this time I'm now talking at Joseph Barbera and William Hanna, they decided, well, TV is a new thing. We're going to start making our own shows.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they started to remember how they would use some of the same background.
Yeah. And
this is why on the production, you can see it on the television. Yes, it's true. You can see that the background would show itself again and again. And there's a reason for that.
When Yogi's running from the ranger.
That's right. Or Fred and Barney
would
be running. Well, there's a reason for that.
Well, that same great sound effect.
There's a reason for that. They had to use the same reel, and they would. They also found, now when you were watching the old Tom and Jerry, they had a lot of time and a lot of animators to help them make those cartoons.
Yeah.
That's why there's a certain production value, and they had a lot more cells that they would use.
Yeah.
A lot more. It was like watching an animated movie.
Yeah, it was very smooth. Compared to when they started working for television.
But what they ended up doing, they found that they didn't have near the time, and they needed a lot more cartoons.
Yeah, to go TV.
So therefore, they had to go a lot quicker, make a lot more.
Yep.
So they found a way to, and I don't want to use the word cheat, but they found ways to take shortcuts.
Yeah.
Some people say, oh, but it wasn't near as good. Well, but
it was still entertaining as heck. Those early television cartoons like Yogi. I still love Yogi.
So the very first one that they made was one, and they made so many. So the very first one that they made, let me throw a page here.
Cause I want Looks to like right. they're
Ready and Rough.
Ready. Oh,
Ready
and Rough.
And they made they made very good, you could say, decisions or friends, however you want to look at it. They had people like Dawes Butler.
Yes.
And Don Messick.
Yes.
And these are voices.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
Dawes Butler is a legend, man.
Very much a legend. These are, we'll call them voice actors, because that's what they are.
That's what they are. And they're great actors.
They're wonderful.
Can do it all with their voice.
And they could play more, because it doesn't matter what you look like. They could play more than one, and they did. They use some of the same voices over and over, and you would be very
the same actors at least. But these actors were so versatile.
Absolutely,
like Dawes Butler. I mean, because I still Dawes Butler. I still my favorite was probably going to be Huckleberry Hound that he did.
Don't forget,
I love Huckleberry Hound. Yeah, Quick Draw McGraw, another one of my favorite old characters.
So when they started making things like Rough and Ready, they started making others like Huckleberry Hound came next. And in case you're not aware, I just want to throw this out there. I'm a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yes.
Now, Andy Griffith, before he did the show, he was well known for being a stand-up comedian.
And he's funny.
Very funny. He started doing a stand-up comedian, and then he did a...
And he'd sing some songs, too.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Great. So, he was well known for being a Southern gentleman.
Yep.
Southern. And so...
He's running from North Carolina.
They were looking for a character that they could make, and they made Huckleberry Hound, and they based him off of Andy Griffith.
Yeah, and you can tell when you watch the old ones, because he had that laid-back style of Andy Griffith.
Hi there, folks.
Yes. I hadn't really seen, I mean, I'm used to like later on, they would have all the Hanna-Barbera characters together and do specials.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't ever seen the old Huckleberry Hound ones until like, however many years ago, Boomerang, when it was worth watching, because they showed the really old stuff. They would show the classic old Huckleberry Hounds, and that's when I really just fell in love with the character, because He was so versatile because Huckleberry Hound could be doing any job, whatever episode. He was fireman in one, he's a mailman, and something would always get happen to him and interfere with him trying to do his job. Huckleberry Hound. Poor Huckleberry, you know, he's especially a fireman trying to get a cat out of a tree, which is funny because he's a dog, you know. But he was just he was just such a great character.
He's a lot of
fun.
And
he had a great freak out too when he was about to get hit. Doggone it! You know.
And the great thing,
love Huckleberry Hound.
I seen some old stand-up things of Andy, and he was wearing a little hat and a bow tie, and very similar. Very similar. But so Huckleberry Hound was the first real hit. And after that, they started bringing out other ones. And, I mean, obviously, Yogi Bear.
Yogi. Gotta love Yogi. That was like, Yogi.
That was their spokesman for the longest
time. Yeah, he was. Yogi's still great.
Huge. Hey, boo-boo. Yeah. By the way, both Huckleberry Hound.
Both based off of what, Yogi Berra? Was he a catcher for the Yankees, I think, wasn't he? Or?
Yeah, he was out there with the Yankees. And it was the, I will say this, the name was Yogi Berra. But who he's based off of is a great comedic actor from Honeymooners. And that was,
You have a lot of, that's where they really got Barney, though, for well.
But they get both.
But, I can't think of the actor's name, but yeah, the guy who was, not Jackie Gleason, he's Norton.
Norton.
The guy who played Norton.
What was his name? Ed Asner? No, Ed.
Not Ed. Ed Asner, totally different guy.
I think Ed Norton, but I can't think of his name right now for some reason. But anyway.
Yeah, he was such a great.
Hey, boo-boo!
Yeah, he had a lot of that going on.
And then they brought out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Mel Blanc do Boo Boo for a while?
I believe.
I don't know where I heard that. I might be totally wrong.
But then they brought out.
Pixie and Dixie.
And Mr. Jinx.
Yes, go on. Yeah. One of the few cat and mouse things that was actually funny.
Yeah.
So I actually liked Tom and Jerry better when some later ones they had a series of Tom and Jerry where they were actually friends and they would get into a little misadventures together.
They had fun. And then. And then you have Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss, the very uppity actor.
Was straight. Yeah. A straight character at the time, supposed to be Snagglepuss. Yeah.
He was just, he was an actor.
Yeah, he was.
Stage left, even. Yes. And I don't know if they got his personality off of an actual actor, but I bet they did.
Always remind me of Felix Unger a little bit. Now, that might have been a little too early for Felix Unger, but that's who he always reminded me of, just a little bit.
Maybe.
And because Felix Unger, I mean, that was in the movie, so who knows? But then we cannot forget, and I might be jumping the gun.
And, the Snagglepuss, I finally, back when Boomerang was showing classic Hanna-Barbera, Snagglepuss is, because I never had seen him solo either until then. Snagglepuss was actually pretty funny. He was like a Bugs Bunny type character.
Yeah.
There was always some hunter out to get his lion pelt, and he would outsmart him. And Snagglepuss was pretty darn funny on his own.
For some reason, though, people always focus on like he's a wuss, a wimp. And,
he was clever.
People sometimes confuse him with Pink Panther.
Yeah, because
there's similarities.
And I do love Pink Panther as well.
Me too, but that's not Hanna-Barbera. But
oh, and there's my guy. And
there's a quick draw. Loop was a wolf.
De Loop.
But yes. my favorite, Quick Draw McGraw.
Well, hold on there.
Also known as Elkabong.
Elkabong.
Hey, Quick Draw.
I love Quick Draw McGraw. I always have. As soon as I first saw him and everything, I used to just watch him on the USA Cartoon Express. Used to show Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
When I was a little kid.
And they'd show Quick Draw McGraw for half an hour, and oh, I loved it.
There was something about Quick Draw McGraw as a kid, the colors and everything about him. He was just the coolest.
Yeah.
He was just so great.
I always think it would be like when you see Jimmy Stewart playing like these tough cowboy characters for some reason, that's Quick Draw McGraw to me. And I don't know if that's where they got some of the ideas.
Who knows?
But he just had that where he's tough. Oh, there's one. Oh, I love it when he had the little dog that he wanted to do the dog biscuits. He had that little dog. I don't know what they call that dog. Does it say?
They might go back there.
I hope you all know what I'm talking about. We had the little dog that he'd say, "All right, go in there and we'll flush him out." And the dog would go, pointing to his mouth. And you'd have to give him a dog biscuit. And the dog would just have this whole routine of hugging himself. And he'd float up in the air. And sink back down to the ground.
Augie Doggy
and Daddy. Doggy Daddy.
Doggy Daddy. Doggy Daddy was based off of Jimmy Durante.
Yeah, Jimmy Durante, big time.
My son, my boy, Achacha.
Yeah.
He was great.
Oh, this is such great characters.
And then the same voice of the son of Augie Doggy was the same one of Elroy, wasn't it? Or at least it sounded very similar.
I think so.
Oh, Father.
Which, see, Elroy, I think, might have been another Dawes Butler character. I think he might have been Elroy.
Sounds very similar.
I think, because Dawes Butler, man, there was nothing he couldn't do at the time. Him and Mel Blanc, man.
And then, of course, the very first primetime cartoon. Da-da-da-da.
Although that wasn't the original theme back when it started.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the original theme, but that's still what we all think of.
Yes.
Because how can you beat Flintstones?
Meet the Flintstones. And I'm sorry that we're singing at you.
Dun, dun.
Yes. And I remember that we used to come on every afternoon. Oh, yes. Watched it every day. Love
I own every episode of that.
You do? Yes. Oh, dude, we're going to have to maybe have a marathon one of these days. I just love me some Flintstones.
And it even has the original theme song.
Hopefully y'all can still hear me as well. Walked over there.
I gotta show you.
Oh, that's right. That big case that you got. I forgot.
It looks like a TV.
Yeah, it looks like an old Stone Age TV.
It's great. It's tremendous.
That and the Flintstones and the Jetsons. Man, when I was a kid,
Jetsons was on some prime of my favorites originally.
Yeah,
it was the second.
But I think it's Channel 41. I think they would show the Flintstones and then the Jetsons right after, if I remember correctly. Yep. And then they still had some Saturday morning Jetsons where they had the newer ones where Orbity was part of it. Yeah.
Flintstones was on for I want to say 5 seasons, at least 4.
Good long time. And. Yeah, and it really was the Honeymooners in the Stone Age.
Yeah, and they had a little other stuff with it, but it was definitely Honeymooners.
But they were the first ones to actually have a pregnant character. I think they were before Lucy.
That was kind of like Lucy, yeah.
And that was kind of a thing, and then it opened up. Because, I guess Lucy would have been first, yeah. But to have it in a cartoon, I think, it was mind-blowing.
And later on, they had other shows based off Flintstones. They had the Pebbles and Bam Bam show.
Yeah.
Which had the voice of, what's her name from...
All in the Family. Sally Struthers was Pebbles.
Pebbles.
Yeah. They were teenagers, had their band. I never really... That one was okay.
It was in the 70s.
It was all right.
Yeah, I liked it all right.
It wasn't one of my favorite Flintstones cartoons. Oh, there you go. The Big Rock Flintstones kids.
Yeah, and they had the comedy hour. I used to watch that.
Flintstones comedy show.
You would have been a little bitty.
I kind of remember that. Dude, you were a little bitty at the same time, brother.
Yeah. But I remember that one very well.
Oh, I loved Captain Caveman.
Yeah, that's where he came from.
That would still make a fantastic movie if they did it right. Just go for it. If they go for the angle that that Sonic the Hedgehog just went ahead, then just go ahead and go for it. With like, you know what? It's a talking blue hedgehog that runs fast. Just go with it and be silly and have fun. And it works. Captain Caveman, if they did that the right way, and you just CG Captain Caveman the whole time.
Yeah.
You could actually make a really fun Captain Caveman movie.
I would love for him to do that. To be honest with you, I would love him to redo the Flintstones and Jetsons and everybody. Just do it right.
We felt like we kept getting these promises that a Jetsons movie was coming with Tim Allen as George Jetson.
They kept joking about it, and they just like, come on, do it.
Just do it, because Tim Allen would have made a great George Jetson.
And
our Ted Danson. Ted Danson back in the day looked like George Jetson.
And another one would have been great. I'm sorry, but I love him so much. That Dane DeVito as Mr. Space.
Yes!
Would have been great.
He'd have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have been so much fun.
Oh, man.
And they had some neat Christmas festivals.
Yeah, they have not shown Scooby-Doo in this book at all.
We're not there.
See, it's all in sections. Oh, we're just getting into the Jetson section.
Yeah, because they go through times. See, they're showing some Flintstones stuff together. They had some great anniversary thing.
Oh, man.
And into the Jetsons.
Then they had where the Jetsons met the Flintstones. Yeah, that was awesome. Fun.
That was a straight-to-video
thing. But it was great. I remember seeing it on TV all the time.
Oh,
there we go. Top Hat or Top Cat.
Top Cat.
Top Cat.
He's a real
which Top Cat. I did let them know when I first started. I listened to Skywalking from Neverland the first time I heard it. Richard to me sounds like Top Cat.
Oh, yeah.
The his trick of speech, I mean, it's pretty darn close. And his wife. Wow, why am I forgetting her name all of a sudden? She didn't quite see it, you know, but he reminds me of Top Cat so much, the way he talks. And because he's got that Boston accent, you know.
It shows right here, Arnold Sting. It shows the Arnold guy Sting. That has the voice.
Oh, Top Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's the guy. Top Cat was great.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yes.
And then you got
Wally Gator.
Wally Gator.
Hi, boys.
He was fun.
Wally Gator.
And then. Yes.
Oh, McGill.
Now, you know who did his voice? Alan Melvin.
Oh, well, I recognize his face. He was.
For anyone who's ever watched The Brady Bunch.
Yeah, he was the. Not Floyd the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher. He was, however, on Andy Griffith's show a lot.
Really?
Yeah,
I've seen him on there.
I believe 5 or 6 different characters on there. He was also Alan Melvin was also on All in the Family as Barney Hefner. He was on so many other shows, but he was McGilla Gorilla.
McGilla Gorilla, yeah.
He was a lot of fun. Not really like him.
A gorilla in a pet shop. The most ridiculous premise, I swear, but yeah, it worked.
Fun.
A lot of fun. Oh, Ricochet Rabbit!
You and I used to watch that.
Yeah.
Ricochet, bing, bing, bing. Bing.
Rabbit. And there's, Adam Ant.
Adam Ant, yeah.
Yes.
Very strong ant.
Oh.
They start showing all these weird, they start trying to uh-huh. Hillbilly Bears.
The Hillbilly Bears. Now, which came first, the Hillbilly Bears or the Country Bears?
Oh, it would have been the Country Bears.
Would have been the Country Bears.
Because it would have been at Disney already.
Yeah, probably. I would say so. So I wonder if they drew any inspiration from the Country Bears.
Probably. And then you got
Secret Squirrel.
And keep in mind, they were doing all these the same
Speaking
time.
Of Skywalking Through Neverland.
They had to do all of these things the same
Yeah, time. So many different characters. I mean, Hanna-Barbera just took over television cartoons. I mean, it was pretty much everything.
It said, I was watching a thing not all that long ago about Hanna-Barbera, and they said, all through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and most of the 90s, it was Hanna-Barbera. They had it all.
Yeah.
There was hardly any other company. Except that there was one other that we knew of, and I'm trying to think of the name.
Ruby Spears, that kind of branched off from
Filmation.
Hanna-Barbera. Filmation.
But yeah. Still, it was almost, I think they said 75% of Hanna-Barbera. 75%. That's all.
Because they made so many different shows.
They did real good.
And not all of them were huge and great.
Not all of them were great. I mean, I'm seeing some here.
But, yeah, we'd still watch them.
Well, yeah, I give everything a chance.
And then, but yeah, they got the license for doing the Fantastic Four. There you go. There's your Disney connection, a Marvel property. Yeah. Of course, then they started doing the Super Friends later. And then Johnny Quest. Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, because Johnny Quest was kind of neat because it was
very serious for what
it was. Very serious. It was almost like little mini movies.
It was like
it really was.
It's like, what if James Bond was a little boy?
Yeah.
And he had and I enjoyed.
Well, except for it was like weird because he was just going along with his father was like this great scientist, mm-hmm. and of course they parodied it there on that one show.
Yeah, and like Race Bannon was my favorite character.
Yeah, he was cool, man.
He was like the white haired guy.
Yeah, and he was like total tough dude,
yeah,
man.
The dog, I love the dog.
And then Johnny would just kind of get caught up in whatever was happening because somebody was trying to steal whatever formula his father was working on or something, yeah, you know.
But Bandit the dog was the cutest.
Yeah, he's the only cartoony looking character really in this series.
Yeah, he was adorable.
But yeah, I remember. Although, like, this really great one where they had this, like, gargoyle, and they were at this creepy castle, and this gargoyle was coming to life and coming after them. And
I loved it.
Oh, I remember that episode. And that was a great episode.
Space Ghost.
Which I wasn't really familiar with until people pointed him out to me because I drew a character that looked similar.
I always thought that, yeah, you did. And in the name went too far, but I liked Space Ghost as a kid.
Loved I'm just, it. Space Ghost like Coast Batman. To Coast is what I, when he popped up later.
Yeah, when he came around, but I liked him as a kid because he reminded me of Batman a little bit because he even had a Robin looking character, and then there was a girl with him too, and a monkey.
And a monkey.
So for some reason, Hanna-Barbera seemed to think they had to have monkeys back then all over the place. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and then for a while, it was teenagers with a dog.
Yeah.
And they would solve mysteries because like the Scooby-Doo became a formula and they kept coming back to it.
Well, Hanna-Barbera was really keen. So was Filmation. When they found something that won,
they would try to do it again.
And again. Which is all right, except that sometimes, okay, let's try something different.
Heck, even Inch High Private Eye had a couple of teenagers and some dogs with them.
Yes, it sure did. And then there's Frankenstein Jr.
Frankenstein Jr., yeah. I've only seen a couple of those. And then, these three characters.
The Impossibles.
Yeah, the Impossibles. I've seen a couple of cartoons of them. They were kind of fun. Little super team.
Yeah, they're goofy, but they're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the cadets or something.
Yeah,
the space cadets.
The space cadets. Yeah, I remember watching them.
Now here's another one they tried to draw them very.
Was that Thundar?
It was
the no, that's not. Yeah, the Herculoids. Yeah, I only vaguely remember the Herculoids. I didn't really watch much of it, but they were just neat.
Yeah, and then you had whatever this was.
Shazam.
Yeah, they went through a series of let's try these.
I forgot he had a catchphrase when he did a spell. Oh, no, wait. That was the other genie, the oversight one. Fopple Bopple or something.
We'll get into that in a minute.
I'm sure he's coming up. Then, I cannot, but that was a different character.
Then there's Moby Dick and his teenage pals, Tom.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Nub, and, I mean, they try almost everything. You can say this, they were not boring.
They were
always trying something that you can't say that they never tried.
Everything was a successful hit, that's for sure.
Like whatever this was, the Mighty
Tour. I vaguely remember seeing that guy.
Yeah, he's familiar, but like I said, they tried everything. Oh,
man.
Bad man.
Young Samson with Goliath.
Oh, I remember watching Young Samson. Yeah.
This guy, Birdman.
Yeah.
And the Galaxy Trio.
Yeah, man. I hadn't even heard of that guy until they did Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law. And then I was like, what in the world?
See, I only knew a lot of this as a kid. I remember seeing things about it. There's
The Arabian Nights, mm-hmm. And there's that genie guy.
I remember that.
Yeah.
There's at one point The Adventures of Gulliver. See, they would just take a famous story and turn it into
an find an inspiration to make a cartoon sometimes.
And they also made some animated movies at the time. We'll get into those in a minute. I'm sure you've seen them. Here's Scooby.
There's Scooby.
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Next to good old Hong Kong Phooey.
And the number one super guy.
Dick Dastardly,
because that was from the show.
Yeah. Catch the Pigeon. Because that's where he came from. What was the name of that one?
Catch the Pigeon, I believe.
Well, no, that was the theme song. But it wasn't, the show wasn't called that.
Let's see, it was called.
I think it was actually the Dick Dastardly cartoon. Dick Dastardly and the Somethings.
Let's see.
You can find that
here.
So it was always them trying to chase this. They were like the Germans or whatever in World War One, trying to chase these messenger pigeon in every episode.
I know he's in the Wacky Races, but that was later on.
That was later on, the Wacky Races and the Laugh Olympics.
It might have been.
Dick Dastardly was the name of the show. Penelope Pitstop.
Yeah, that's her. And is that the name of the show?
Yeah, it was Penelope Pitstop. Yeah, and
that's it.
And the Seven Somethings. She had this like these gangster, short little gangster guys that were always trying to keep her out of trouble. It was like based on the goofiest melodrama. She had this weird guy. The Perils of Penelope Pitstop. Yeah. Oh,
that's
man.
That's it. Yeah, and she has this goofy little car. They all had the same cars.
Yeah, and that's the same car she had in like Wacky Races.
Yeah, then here's that genie he was talking about. That was a
Rapple Dapple or
around
something.
Around the world in 79 days.
That's I don't see the genie guy in there.
Oh, that guy just looks very similar.
But there we go, Scooby Doo. Because I think the last good series is. I don't know why everybody bags on Scrappy. I liked Scrappy back in when he first was
showing
up.
When he first showed up, yeah.
I mean, now I don't think they really started to lose. I mean, like in the 80s, the last one that I remember was they had the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, and that one was okay. It was all right.
That was Vincent Price.
Yeah, having Vincent Price in there. It wasn't the best series, but then I didn't watch the Scooby-Doo Kids or whatever. Wasn't it a pup named Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, they did.
I never really got into that one. I think there was other shows on at the same time that I was watching.
The only thing about the pup named Scooby-Doo I liked was it was not exactly the same as the others, and that part I kind of like because the other ones seem to all be almost identical.
Yeah,
and that's the thing I liked about the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo is it was different,
and it was real ghosts,
and I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, and they tried to make it scary.
Well, you have Vincent Price, and he brought something to it, in my opinion. He brought something to it because
He's Vincent Price, man,
and he would start off Sam. Can you catch the demons? And I mean, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. But Scooby-Doo was great. I mean, you had so many different iterations that kept going because the Where Are You series, and then, you know, having now they call it the Scooby-Doo movies where they'd have a guest star when they have Don Knotts on there, and they'd have Batman and Robin on there.
Sandy Duncan.
Yes.
Was on there. And Batman and Don Knotts was always my favorite ones that were on there.
Yeah. Well, it was fun with the Addams Family, too. That Harlem Globetrotters on there.
That was my favorite.
Loved it.
Three Stooges.
Yeah, because the Three Stooges got an animated series, too.
Yeah, and you had
it was a Hanna-Barbera series.
Yeah, it was.
But they did so many great things with Scooby-Doo.
Mama Cass.
Yeah, Mama Cass. Because I think they had all the Mamas and the Papas, I think, at one point, didn't they?
I just remember her. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I remember having a mom. I think they had all of them.
Two parts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was a two-part, but now they call them the Scooby-Doo movies because they've put them together.
I see.
But they actually had a name for them because we used to watch it. What it was,
they would go.
You'd get one day, you'd have one of them.
And they'd always take the series of Scooby Doo, and they'd just play them right through. And I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember. The USA Cartoon Express would play a bunch of them.
I didn't know that because like Channel 41, back from where I'm at. I didn't know that they
41,
were a different series. I didn't know
it was just all Scooby Doo.
We just thought it was just Scooby Doo. I didn't know it was like Scooby Doo. Where Are You?
And then they had the Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy-Doo show. And I just thought it was Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Now
here's something I want to point out. When you had later series, they dropped Fred and Velma. And it was Shaggy and Daphne. Always Shaggy and Daphne. Now, why people got in their heads... That Fred and Daphne were an item, because no, clearly Shaggy and Daphne were an item because they were always together.
Yeah, they
Fred was out of the picture. Something was a little off with Fred anyway because he was wearing an Asgot. That's not a straight man. I love Fred.
At the time,
let's face it, he was. I know, but I always make that joke on him. It's like. You know, I'm sorry, but Fred was not into Daphne.
But
I feel like Warner Brothers has went ahead and decided to go that direction because so many people would assume it. But I think people assume it because, well, Fred was the good looking one, so of course she's going to go that way. But no, Daphne clearly with Shaggy.
Keep in mind, too, though, when the movie was made, you also had a hug and a wife.
Yeah, you had a hug, but that's why they cast them, I think, because they're cute together, really. As a real life couple, they are cute together. But, and, you know, Warner Brothers has ran with that idea, and it is kind of fun that they decided, well, what if Velma had a crush on Shaggy? And so I've seen a little bit, you know, some of the newer cartoons are just, they don't feel like Scooby-Doo, but I kind of think that was a cute idea. I still stand my ground, Shaggy and Daphne.
One thing totally. You know, with Velma nowadays, I do like. Is that Velma is not ugly? Because
heck, the actress that played her.
Oh my goodness!
She, especially because for anyone who doesn't know, the actress that played Velma in the movies as Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye. That's Hawkeye's wife in the Avengers films.
Yeah,
Linda Cardellini. She's a very pretty lady.
Very beautiful. In fact, she's on one of the prequels of my Lonesome Dove movies. She plays the main gal who ends up being. The main guy, Augustus, that's the gal he's in love with. And so it was like, I was surprised they had her in there. I'm so thrilled because I've always thought she was outstanding.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I remember when the Scooby-Doo, and I was excited for that first Scooby-Doo movie, although I really didn't, I didn't like it, but I was super excited. I was excited, and I remember watching some behind-the-scenes stuff, and they showed Linda Cardellini, who was playing Velma. I'm like, that's Velma? I'm like, wow.
I actually
like
the second one better in some ways.
I didn't watch the second because the first one, they lost me, because Scooby-Doo, you'd have the accidental jokes. That, like, the one I'll point out that I always like to point out, and it was pretty funny, but they see a crack in this in some sidewalk, and Fred says, well, as Shaggy would say, follow that crack. Now, he doesn't, that's not trying to make a drug reference, but it's, you can make it now. But with the Scooby-Doo live-action film, they were doing it on purpose.
Yeah, they didn't love
it. And that's where they lost me. As soon as they had the van, and they had the smoke coming out and trying to be like, they're getting high in there.
Yeah, they had a lot of that stuff there.
When they were doing it on purpose, that's like, no, you lost the charm of it because now you're making, you know. And I'm sorry, I can't get into that. So I did not like the live action movie. So I did not watch the second one. And a lot of the newer cartoons, although the What's New Scooby-Doo, I watched a few episodes of that. And that one was not bad. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I like that one too.
But some of what I've seen they've done with the Scooby-Doo characters, I've been really disappointed.
Well, the unfortunate fact is nowadays people lose the point of what's funny and what's not.
Yeah,
they almost ruined.
They've lost the charm of what Scooby-Doo was. So I was really nervous with this Scooby movie, but we'll listen to the review and it'll be here in the show.
I will say Scooby-Doo-Dum.
Scooby-Dum, yes!
Scooby-Dum.
We will listen to Eric's review. How about we pause real quick and we'll listen to Eric's review. Well, you'll listen to it. I'm going to listen to it later. But let's listen and see what Eric had to say about Scoob.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Hey, a movie!
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie!
Starring everybody!
And me!
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time!
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken!
Oh, good!
Hello, Neverlanders. This is Lost Boy Eric coming in with a review of Scoob, the new Scooby-Doo movie that was released digitally for home ownership or rental. I got to take a look at it over the weekend and wanted to share my impressions on it. Now, Scoob basically follows the creation and some adventures of the Mystery Incorporated. You've got all of your classic Scooby-Doo team members with Shaggy, Scooby, Fred, Velma, and Daphne as they go through and you find out how they meet together, how they join their team, their first adventure together, and you learn that they don't live in necessarily a very secluded universe. The movie starts off in Venice Beach, California, but you soon notice little bits and pieces. Maybe you see in an abandoned house, you might see some silhouettes, some frame silhouettes of Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Maybe you might see Mr. Peebles' pet shop sitting out there. maybe you might even come across a dastardly villain. This is truly the start of a new universe, combining all of the different elements of Hanna-Barbera. It's a pretty amazing thing, especially the way that they weave things together. It's no secret, based upon the trailers, we know that the Blue Falcon is involved. We know that Dick Dastardly is the villain of the film. The plot centers around Dastardly needing something specific from a member of the Mystery Incorporated team. We see how he connives and finds his way to reach his goal. But along the way, we do talk about some very important themes. Definitely friendship, particularly the friendship between a boy and his dog, man's best friend. A couple of things. Right out of the way, you know that this is a new cast that's fulfilling most of these roles. And I'll admit, it is a little bit jarring not to hear Frank Welker voicing Fred. In this case, it's voiced by Zac Efron. So there is a little bit of a dissonance there, but I wouldn't say let that stop you from watching and enjoying this movie. Now, there are those who may be looking for a true mystery. That it's not really so much a mystery as it's kind of a quest to reach a goal. And that can possibly turn off some viewers, especially those who absolutely love the Scooby-Doo iterations. But, you know, then again, every time we get a new Scooby-Doo product, there is a little bit of a difference between what it is that they're searching for. The original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? It was, you know, unmasking criminals. But if you take a look at the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, it's about seeking after supernatural elements. If you look at Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, the TV series from a few years ago, it's more about, you know, trying to figure out the mystery. In some cases, it is a person in a mask. In some cases, there really is a mystical element to it. So that's something to keep in mind as you go looking into this. It's not necessarily Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? But there is a fantastic Easter egg related to that show that I would encourage you, you know, if you see anything, at least see the first 12 minutes of Scoob, particularly to get that Easter egg. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I think it was fun, especially, you know, to watch with my kids. You know, they all know Scooby-Doo. We've watched Mystery Incorporated multiple times. They've even seen Be Cool Scooby-Doo. But it is a fun story. But what really sold it for me was these connections to a greater Hanna-Barbera universe. You know, maybe they pass a billboard that talks about Quest Laboratories, or, you know, there's a poster featuring the Hex Girls. Again, I don't think this is going to be everybody's piece of the pie. It might not be what everyone's expecting to see. It is different. But I think it's also helping to set up this greater Hanna-Barbera universe. You know, something touched on shows like, you know, Laugh Olympics. Oh, there's a great Easter egg for that, too. But it also, you know, opens up the door that there's this bigger world and there's more out there that they can explore with the different Hanna-Barbera properties. You know, it'd be interesting to find out how Quickdraw McGraw fits into all of this, or McGilla Gorilla. You might even see a team-up at some point. So, you know, it is enjoyable. It's a lot of fun, especially for the kids. I know my kids really enjoyed watching it. We've watched it a few times over this weekend. But definitely, you know, if you want to wait until it's available on Netflix or a streaming service, that's certainly your choice. Definitely take a look at it. For me, it was something to buy and something I'm glad that I bought. Your mileage might vary on it. But anyhow, check it out if you want. It is a lot of fun. You know, for an hour and a half, $25 to buy it off of a digital service. Yeah, it's a good cost. You know, especially when you consider to rent it right now, it's $20. So, anyhow, there you go. I enjoyed it. Have a great day.
Okay, I have no idea what Eric just said because, like I said, we haven't listened to it. But that was Eric's thoughts on Scoob, and all I know is he did say he did like it. So, Butch Cassidy had a cartoon.
He did.
Well,
also, don't forget Joe. Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, yeah, which I saw a part of that movie, and it was okay. Somehow, they just didn't... Yeah,
And then there was also the Funky Phantom, which was, at the time, you have to remember this came out right now.
Of course, I see that image, and I think of, what was the Doom Buggy? Speed Buggy. Speed Buggy.
That was around 1976.
Yeah, I remember. I like Speed Buggy.
This one was around 1976.
Yeah, Speed Buggy was a great character.
This is when, as you can see, this is around, I'm talking to Jeremy, of course.
Right.
This is around the time, filling you in, after Scooby and they hit something, you had everything. Josie and the Pussycats, Funky Phantom, Butch Cassidy, all of them.
There's Inside Private Eye.
Yeah, the
Teenagers Win a Dog.
Yeah, the Clue Club.
The Clue Club.
Names were all fitting.
Oh, for some reason, the Clue Club, I was thinking Inside Private Eye had those two dogs, but no, there's the Clue Club dogs.
Yeah, they
but it was all, still the Scooby Doo formula.
It is.
And there's even Scooby Doo formula right there with the band. Yeah.
You had
Jabberjaws.
And I actually like Jabberjaw. And,
yeah, he's curly.
He is, and it's curly.
It's curly.
And then there's Inside Private Eye.
Inside Private Eye.
You basically had all these same...
There's good old Captain Caveman. Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong
Phooey. Voiced by the great Scatman Carruthers.
Oh, Scatman.
Yeah.
Number one super guy. He was great.
He had a great voice for that. Oh, and I see something coming on the next page.
1974.
There he is, Grape Ape.
Grape Ape.
And what was the little dog guy's name?
Beagle.
I used to like that. It was just funny because the Beagle would be driving the van, yes, and the Grape Ape would be trying to keep up with it.
I love Grape Ape. And I remember as a kid they had this, I don't know if any of y'all remember this or not, but they had Grape Ape gum. Now, I'm not a big gum guy now, but the Grape Ape gum would look like his head, like his face. And
wow.
It looked like his face. And but it was very grapey. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, grape gum back in the day, man. I remember. I bet they still make that. But as adults, we don't tend to chew that kind of gum anymore. You know.
But you know,
now everything's mint. But there was. I used to love Dynamite.
Here's one of my favorite all-time cartoons as a kid. I like Dynamite. However, I got to tell you, I was a Blue Falcon fanatic, and one of the reasons
he was such a Batman ripoff.
That's it. I'm a Batman nut, and. But he was a good combination of Batman with a little bit of a Superman look.
Oh, and I forgot.
A little bit of a Captain America.
Yeah.
And he was a good combination.
The voice of the Blue Falcon, though, man, that guy was, he did a lot of announcing for game shows. I can't think of his name now. He was a fantastic voice guy.
Yeah, well, it will tell you right here, Gary Owens.
Gary Owens. I was trying to think of his name when I was talking to Heather about this the other day. That, you know, I was the big selling point for Scoob was that finding out they had a little thing with Blue Falcon and Dynamite, although Dynamite always looks serious. And Dynamite was a goofball character.
Voiced by the great Frank Welker.
Yes.
Yes.
And yes. I love Dynamite. He cracked me up. He was so funny.
He was funny, and he kind of had the whole Spectre Gadget thing going on.
Yeah. He had all these goofy gadgets and everything. Oh, right. And
his neck did the identical. Of course, it's before Inspector Gadget.
Yes, it was.
I
told Heather that, too. He was the original Inspector Gadget, but he was a dog. And I'm worried with Scoob that they tried to make him more serious. I'm like, he's got to be the idiot, lovable idiot that he always was.
And and Scooby did, if I'm not mistaken, now, please don't. I may be wrong here.
He'd be a great crossover with Scooby-Doo, wouldn't he?
I think he did meet with Scooby-Doo.
Didn't they put them in one of the two-part things?
Yeah,
didn't they?
I think they did.
I'm going to have to look for that.
Yeah, now we're going to have to odd one.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there was, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I might be mistaken.
Yeah, because you had like a Hanna-Barbera almost universe where they crossed over some stuff, you know,
every once in a while. It was so much fun.
Especially when they could put all their characters together and have Laugh Olympics and have Christmas specials. Like,
yeah, that was fun.
Like when Yogi Bear stayed up from hibernation because he'd never been through Christmas because he's a bear. And
that was a lot of fun. Hey!
And he fell asleep there at the last minute or whatever.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Yo, yo.
They used to put that on every year.
Loved it.
I don't remember like the details of it. I just remember watching it.
I remember them being in a bus, and I remember them singing, you know, Jingle Bells.
Yeah, they were going skiing or something. Went to a ski lodge.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And of course, Ranger Smith. And I remember, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, Yogi.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't recognize.
I vaguely remember that cartoon. That was Hokey Wolf.
Yeah, Hokey
with
Wolf.
The little sheepdog and the little lamb he was always trying to get. Hokey Wolf was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I think he was kind of based a little bit off of that one guy that used to be on Match Game. Ah, yeah. You know, I'm doing a really bad impersonation.
And there's AutoCat, some AutoCat. More. Like I said, they had so many
characters. So many. The Hair Bear. I love that one. What was it? Beep Beep.
Wheeler and the Chopper
Bunch.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that was a great cartoon. That was Cars before Cars.
It is. I loved the animation.
Yes, the animation was great. And it was funny because Wheeler couldn't speak. He just beeped and even had messages go across his windshield.
It was adorable.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh.
And then you had
the Hair Bear Bunch. Hair Bear. Here come the bears. Let's split.
The Hair Bear Bunch.
Oh, man. Help, help. Oh.
And then you can see.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to do kind of a Flintstones
thing. Yeah, with the Greek ones or the Roman holidays. Yeah.
I remember that a lot. And then you have These Are the Days. You see how serious this looks. It kind of
They've always had great artists. I mean, Floyd Norman, who was a Disney legend, did work with Hanna-Barbera.
It has an old, it looks like a 1915.
Well, and they even, that's the same style they had when they did Charlotte's Web.
Yeah,
which was, I loved the old animated Charlotte's Web.
This,
the live action one is good too, but I still love the animated.
I don't recognize, but it's called The Rhinos.
Walter Matthau.
The moment I saw him, I said, it's definitely almost a caricature of Walter Matthau.
Yeah,
did he
voice that character? Because if he didn't, it's a wasted effort.
Because let's see. Basically, he's saying, I didn't really say it here. I'm looking, but I can't see who it's supposed to be. But it definitely looks like Walter Matthau.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though, because he was very busy at the time.
So. Yeah, but how cool would that have been, though?
But look at this. This one kills me. It's the Partridge Family 22 AD.
Yeah.
The Partridge Family in the future.
Yeah.
And they're in this this spaceship that
looks like a Jetsons car. it's got all the decorations from the van. That's great. That's fun.
Bus.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, my goodness.
Some of this stuff I don't even recognize. It's...
And I got to say, with the Partridge Family, as much as everybody was into David Cassidy? He was like heartthrob. The oldest daughter, my goodness. Woo,
she was a button. She went on to be on L.A. Law.
Nice.
She was a good-looking blonde gal on that. And then this guy, I don't know, some
C-Lab 2020.
But then this...
Yeah, there he is. We were just talking about that. Ernie Devlin.
Yeah, they're definitely Evel Knievel.
Yeah, we were just talking about that because Philip actually has an Evel Knievel motorcycle toy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And then we have the Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, the Godzilla cartoon.
Yeah, and Jana of the Jungle, which is definitely kind of a Tarzan.
Yeah, but a woman Tarzan. Now, so with blonde hair, which is funny.
Filmation did have a Tarzan show.
Really?
And they had Lone Ranger. I used to watch that too.
I kind of remember the Lone Ranger cartoon.
It was an hour. They had the Lone Ranger.
Oh, a whole thing of animated specials and features. Yeah, because I remember they did Heidi. I never watched it.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't get through it, but I remember I'd usually fall asleep. Heidi just did that to me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I liked the story. It's just I couldn't.
I don't know much about the story other than a little girl in Switzerland or something.
Yeah, and she was with her grandfather, and she had a hard family life. Yeah, they made a movie. Talking about Hanna-Barbera, made a movie about the Last of the Mohicans, which I still do want to see because the animation and style is really well done. It looks like a comic book, just really well done. They did one on Davy Crockett in 1975, and
King of the Wild Frontier.
Yeah, they would show these a lot of times as after school specials. I would see.
Yeah.
They would do Black Beauty in 1978, which
really
I'm actually very impressed. I like to find some of these. Then they did this movie, and I've seen this one. This is a live-action/animation.
Oh!
And it was with Gene Kelly, and it was Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, and that's even where they had him Jameson with Jerry Mouse. Yeah, it became a huge thing.
That was another movie that he did, and then he redid that a few times with Jerry. But he did another film in which it's a musical where he does do a dance with Jerry Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge, huge thing.
That was huge.
They did it more than once, him and Jerry met. And even they brought Tom in at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
And that's the stuff that really, other than, because Walt had already done some experiments putting a live little girl inside a cartoon world.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for stuff like that and then having Jerry Mouse dance with Gene Kelly, we probably wouldn't have been able to get Roger Rabbit later.
Let's
work.
Let's not forget, of course, Mary Poppins.
Right, Mary Poppins.
Song of the South. I know people
love that. Yeah, a good mix there.
Great movie, though.
Great mix of animation and live action.
Absolutely. And then
yes, sir.
And, of course, Bedazzled Broomsticks.
Yeah. There was a lot of great things that would let you know that Roger Rabbit was going to work when that came out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In 1973, Hanna-Barbera brought us, and I still think, a good film, which is Charlotte's Web.
Yes, I still like that one.
I like that movie. I really do. I think it's a good film. It's got some good voices in it.
The fair is a veritable smorgasbord, borgasbord.
Borgasbord.
After the crowds have gone.
I always loved that movie. I went and saw that at the theater a couple times as a kid. We had.
I remember watching it in the theater, and I remember crying when Charlotte died.
And I hate spiders.
Yeah,
I
was man.
A couple earlier.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember much.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah.
But of course, I was a little kid, so of course I cried when a spider died at that point.
Well, they
I didn't like spiders, but you know. But I
like Charlotte. It gets a hold of
it. Oh, and wasn't Ann Margaret, wasn't she the voice of Charlotte?
It was Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds? Yeah. I knew it was something like that. It was like, really? Okay. So Debbie Reynolds, that's Carrie Fisher's mom.
Yeah, and when Carrie died, Debbie died just a day or so later.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking of back on the Flintstones, they had Ann Margaret as Ann Margarock.
Yes.
That's a great episode because she's trying to hide out somewhere to avoid her fans. So she's like a hired-on nanny for Pebbles, and Fred and Barney have no idea that that's Ann Margarock. She's just Annie.
Yes.
And they're auditioning to be like a little two-person barbershop quartet and a little dancing act.
One thing the Flintstones was great at was so great stars.
Yeah. Right? And put rock in their name.
Yeah.
Rock Hudson was kind of perfect.
Himself, you know? Yeah. Now, when they put WWE
I haven't seen all of that one.
That was okay, but I thought they really missed out on a good opportunity, especially because these two stars that I'm thinking of are still involved with WWE. I think they missed out on a really great opportunity during the Attitude Era. They could have had The Rock and Stone Cold.
That would have been too funny.
The great thing about Flintstones is time doesn't matter. So they could easily do that still. Because time doesn't matter, and we still got these great stars that are still there. Come on, give us Stone Cold.
Although I got to say, if you're going to do a cartoon, you wouldn't want Stone Cold and his character in there because of the beer swilling finger, you know.
You can still do it
clean. You have to make him do clean. But yeah, you don't want too many kids emulating him. He doesn't have to be giving everybody the salute.
You don't have to do the salute. You could skip those things. You can clean it up, you know. Now, on to the 80s. We've gone through the 60s and 70s. Now,
they animated the Smurfs.
The Smurfs.
Yeah. We're running out of time on their show, though.
Yeah, so we'll skip through. But they had done the Smurfs.
Oh, the Smurfs. I used to love watching the Smurfs. Yeah, although, of course, they didn't create the Smurfs. That was created by a guy in Europe. Oh, the Fonz cartoon. That was terrible.
And the Mork.
The Mork and Mini cartoon. Didn't they also do that Dukes of Hazzard cartoon that was terrible?
We'll get that in a minute. Quick, although I enjoyed it.
Richie Rich was a good one.
Richie Rich, yeah.
I remember watching that on Saturday mornings, man. That was a great cartoon. The Shirt Tails and the Pound Puppies. Foofer! Many different. Challenge of the Gobots.
They did the little Spanky and the Little Rascals. And Dukes.
I'm one of them people that I like the Transformers and the Gobots.
Me too.
There's people who like diss the Gobots because
they weren't near as good as Transformers.
But I still loved it.
But you know what?
They were some neat little toys.
And they left their fingerprints in the 80s.
I remember that cartoon.
That was a
spear.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Look, Papa Smurf is shooting spiderwebs.
Yeah, he sure is.
This is not a visual show, you didn't get to see Papa Smurf doing the thing.
The Smurfs made a huge, huge impact.
Huge impact on everything. Yeah. I mean, goodness, how many years? How many seasons for the Smurfs?
There it is.
Hey, it's PJ. And it's a Pac-Man
there was
cartoon.
Pac-Man, yes.
Yes. The Snorks.
The Snorks were.
The Munchie Cheese. Isn't that who that was? The Munchie Cheese. And a lot of it, a lot of licensed stuff, but then they started doing those Bible cartoons with
The Greatest Adventure.
And I'm pretty sure the Rob Paulsen, also known as Raphael, and so many different characters, I'm pretty sure he was the annoying little kid.
They did so many, and one thing I loved about these Greatest Adventures stories from the Bible, they would have stars, TV stars that just come in and do voices.
Pam Dauber was Mary in that one. For anyone who doesn't know, that's Mindy and Mork and Mindy. Mm-hmm.
And you had, I can't think of his name right now, the one who was the captain from Love Boat, he came in, was Daniel.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You had all sorts of people who would come in, and Jody Benson, whoever there was, the Beast.
Rob Benson.
Robinson, he was David. Yeah. And
yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, at least I remember. Oh, I remember when we were watching that over at the house because you were getting ready to maybe show it to the kids, and we were kind of surprised by how much blood they had when they did slow motion and when Goliath gets hit by the rock and this blood spurt goes out, and you're like, I don't know if we can show that to the kids.
Price was the voice of the devil, or was it? Yeah, I think it was the devil as the serpent.
I don't really remember that one.
Yeah, he did all those things.
Well, was that the one, or maybe it was the different animated series that I'm pretty sure, and I can't think of the actor's name now, but the voice of Skeletor was actually Caiaphas. I don't think it was the Hanna-Barbera one. I think it's that other series that was Richard Rich, who used to work for Disney, who did his own Bible series.
Yeah, maybe it was, but either way, we
recognized, like, that's Skeletor, I cannot think of the actor's name now. I need to have him on the show one day.
That Hanna-Barbera thing we just went through, that little book that we went
That's through, our childhood.
That was just the first 50 years.
Yeah.
And there others had gone after that. There was other wonderful cartoons in the 90s.
Even after Bill and Joe were gone. You had like Dexter and Dexter's Lab. I love that. The Powerpuff Girls were Hanna-Barbera characters.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
You know, I never did watch that cartoon. All I've heard is the first season is the only one worth watching.
Don't do anything with the first season because they went to a different company, different voices even.
Wow.
And I found out why. The reason why they went to different voices and all was because apparently, and I didn't know this, apparently they had made a deal to have a TV show of Bill and Ted, and they got those actors, and they made a season of it, and I've never seen that. I don't want to see it because I heard it was horrible. But they made it to where Bill and Ted could travel through TV and everything else. But
that might have almost been fun if they did it right, kind of like they remember Stay Tuned.
They tried to basically make it Stay Tuned mixed with a TV show of, what was it, Weird Science type of thing. They said it did not do well. It went boom. But that being said, I am going to get season one because it had the original cast.
Oh, I thought you already had it.
I was going to order it. I'm going to order it. But the problem is finding it's hard because you either get full season one or you get parts, like best episodes. And I want to get the real thing.
You want the whole thing.
But just the season one.
Season one.
But I think this year I'll probably get it because they're bringing out the last film.
Yeah, this next movie.
They brought out some action figures of the cartoon.
Really?
And so I want to get that. End of the show.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wild Stallions.
All right, but we better wrap this up. So hopefully y'all enjoyed going down memory lane with us.
Hanna-Barbera, whether you're a big fan or not, they definitely made a fingerprint through our...
More than a finger.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a foot.
That's right. Four fingers.
Four fingers and a thumb, brother.
That's right. They made a definite handprint in the history of our television childhood and still do, really.
Yeah. Although now it's owned by Warner Brothers, so it's very, very different.
But still, you know, you can't help but think of Yabba Dabba Doo.
Oh, yeah.
You can't help but think about all that stuff. And
all the great stuff.
And
I'm glad a lot of us. I need to start buying some of the DVDs. I see that have like collection of some of the series. Because I think you can get the, the complete Flintstones, the complete Jetsons.
I want to get the Jetsons.
So I think you can even get them on Blu-ray.
I want to get the set. It
would be nice. Just sit and watch.
Scooby-Doo, where they sell it in the van. And
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get that. You know. It's
yeah.
A lot of fun.
And except for I'd only want like those early, you know, the that's 60s and 70s and early 80s, maybe Scooby-Doo.
I don't really necessarily need the new ones.
Yeah. Because because you had Scooby-Doo.
I like to have some Yogi Bears and stuff.
Yeah, it's that old Yogi Bear stuff. Oh. So many great. Hey, if you have a great memory, share it. Send me an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Let me know, what was your favorite Hanna-Barbera cartoon growing up? Of course, if you're a youngin' and you didn't really watch, even if you're a youngin' and you're listening to this show, I bet there was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that you watched on Cartoon Network, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. Heck, Samurai Jack was a Hanna-Barbera.
Johnny Bravo.
Man, I'm pretty.
Yeah.
And with that note, it's time to sign off of this.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.